The wait is over. The Chi returns with new episodes on Paramount Plus.
What brings you to the show?
Opportunity.
Everybody get down!
Walk right up to the side.
A new rain is coming to the South Side.
Never should have sent a boy to do a woman's job.
The Chi. New episodes May 10th. Visit ParamountPlus.com/The Chi to get a 50% discount off the Paramount Plus with Showtime annual plan. Offer ends July 14th. Subscription auto renews. Restrictions apply.
Hello, everybody. Welcome to the Wolverine 24/7 podcast, your audio source for all things Michigan football, basketball, and recruiting. I'm your host, Zach Shaw. Steve Lorenz here with me. Michigan, Maryland football preview. Kind of, maybe if there was one game that fans would love to fast forward through all season, this is probably the one, with Ohio State looming next week and Michigan at 9-1, heavy favorites over the Terrapins. I guess really, I mean, you know, we're going to skip keys to the game because I think the big key is don't lose, and two is be as healthy as you can. But we will kind of work through the matchup, what we think is going to happen a little bit, because it is still a game to be played. Maryland does not look very good, but it's not like they're losing 45-3. You know, they lost to Michigan State 40-21. They kept it, I think it was like, 35-17 against Penn State. So it's not like they're getting blasted. This isn't the worst team in the Big Ten. It's probably not even the worst team in the division. Maybe not even the second worst team in the division, but probably the second worst team in the division. But anyway, so I already said the keys to the game. but we are going to go through our prop bets, our over-unders, and kind of use that to help us preview some of the key storylines of this game. For example, you know, when do backups play? What will count as a successful weekend as well? Because that is something to keep in mind. And Steve, I know you're on the same page as me. It's one thing for them to win, and that might winning period is fine. But, you know, how do you handle the game plan? How do you handle playing your backups versus keeping your starters fresh? Are there some areas that Maryland parallels to Ohio State? So those are all things that we'll look at. Our over-unders are provided by Beige Galaga on Twitter and via Azul on the message board. Last week, Steve, you and I both went 6-8. I think we actually disagreed on a couple, so I think we might have collectively gotten all 8 right in some capacity. And we are now well above 500, actually, on the year. I'm 44-71. You're 42-71. We got 8 more this week. Starting with the offense, Michigan passes for 239.5 yards over or under. Yeah, Steve, I'm curious. You know, Maryland, their defense is just not good in general. But I think if I'm Michigan's coaches, and I don't know where you stand on this, I think this is a game where you try to pass. Because I think, I mean, one, Maryland just not very good defensively across the board, but especially in pass, they're 105th in passing yards per game allowed, 101st in passer yards per attempt allowed. Quietly holding teams to a somewhat low completion percentage, but the one thing for me is I think this is probably not a game where Hassan Haskins should carry the ball 30 times like he did last week. This is a game where I think you probably try to limit Haskins. You don't want to rest him. Although maybe you might, but you know, you don't want him to take on this heavy workload that he's sore heading into next week. Plus, you think about the receivers, they're having some guys, they've had some shuffling due to injuries. I think this is a game where you see if you can just win with the pass, because that's generally speaking, I mean, it's safer in terms of injury and fatigue. So I'm going to take the over, actually. I think this is a game where they try to maybe get Cade McNamara to throw 25 times a game. What do you think?
Yeah, I'll take the over. I think the only if you're Michigan and you decide you want to run the football, it better not be Hassan Haskins carrying the ball the majority of the game. There is no reason on Saturday for Michigan to, and again, unless this turns into a close game where they need him, you know, then of course you have to utilize him. But if this is a game where Michigan's in control, there is no reason to run Haskins into the ground on Saturday. I'll post this later, but you know, I'm really interested to see how Michigan utilizes Donovan Edwards on Saturday, given we don't really know Blake Corum's status. But either way, I think this is a game you want to see Donovan Edwards if you are going to run the football a lot. That being said, I'm going to go with the over as well, because I agree. Maryland's susceptible. Their pass defense is susceptible, and there's no reason, I think, for Michigan to not try to throw the ball a little bit more in this game to kind of keep that balance going, get some more guys involved, maybe do some confidence building at receiver heading into next week. So I'm going to take the over as well.
All right. In a similar vein, 1.5 sacks allowed by Michigan's offensive line. They really haven't allowed a lot of sacks this season. And Maryland, they're actually quietly okay at the pass rush. They don't have a every week he's threatening for a sack kind of guy, but they have four guys who have at least three sacks this season. They are 28th nationally in sacks per game in terms of PFF pass rush. Not as good, 112th nationally in pass rush, but that's pressures, that's efficiency. That's not quite the same story. I'm actually kind of tempted to take the over. Neil's got to know at this point. I complain about the sack over-unders every single time, but I'm kind of tempted to take the over, because if they are trying to throw a lot, another storyline to watch is McCarthy. Did not play last week. Is this a game where they maybe let him have a couple series? We keep saying that, and then it doesn't really happen, but knowing, I mean, this might be the first year that Michigan can go into the Ohio State game. One of the first years in the past decade that they can go to the Ohio State game with a healthy quarterback. Is this a game where maybe McCarthy gets a little bit more run? And we've seen that he's a little bit more prone to giving up sacks or taking sacks. Like McNamara, I think he legitimately, that's a plus on his skill set, is avoiding sacks. And not that he's like fleet of foot or anything, but I think he just understands where pressure is going and he understands where he needs to be. Anyway, because they pass more and because there's a chance that they put the backup in, I'm actually going to take the over. Maryland, decent at hitting home on sacks, so I'm going to take the over. I think there are a couple sacks in this game. I don't think it's necessarily concerning, but I think it could happen. Your thoughts?
I'm going to take the over also, because I think Michigan will be in control, and I do think we'll see some backups in the game. I think Maryland gets home more than once, so not indicative of the direction I think the game is going to go, but I do think Maryland gets the over for sure. And I agree, not quite the same level as it is with Edwards for me, but I do think it's advantageous for Michigan if we see more JJ McCarthy on Saturday. Absolutely. Again, you're one play away from, at every position, you know, having to go to your backups. So I think seeing more McCarthy on Saturday would be a benefit for Michigan, again, heading into Ohio State.
Yeah, the one interesting thing is that he legitimately did not play at all on Saturday, which is the first time all season, I believe, that's been the case. Little surprising, because they've shown, I mean, against Michigan State, he had a fourth down touchdown run when the game was still very much up for grabs. You know, they put him in red zone situations. He threw for a touchdown pass, actually. The fourth down touchdown run was at Wisconsin, my mistake. He threw for a touchdown pass against Michigan State. So they haven't been afraid to put him in the high leverage moments, but it seemed like on Saturday they were riding with Cade. Speaking of Edwards and McCarthy, our next over under, 11.5 rushes for Edwards and McCarthy combined, so 12 or more. Steve, personal opinion here, if it's not the over, I think I would chalk Saturday up potentially as a loss. Obviously if they win, it's not a loss, but that would be a missed opportunity, because they might be the only team in the country. Someone could do the research on this. They might be the only team in the country with a five-star running back and a five-star quarterback, both on the bench. And Michigan has legitimate productive starters ahead of them. I'm not saying that that's the wrong part, but that's your future. Those two, whether it's next year or 2 years from now, unless something changes, those are the guys that you're going to be asking to be in this exact situation, contending for Big Ten titles, playing you know, as a top 10 team. And as you said, one play away from needing both against Ohio State. So I think it'd be a missed opportunity if it's not 12. You know, Edwards, clearly Michigan, you know, Edwards, they're still trying to figure out necessarily where Edwards can play. Because against Penn State, I mean, you got to think Haskins was beat up and tired. But they determined that a tired and beat up Haskins was more productive and more valuable than a healthy Donovan Edwards, you know, who only had 2 carries for 2 yards. So I think this is a big opportunity for Michigan. They have legitimate backups who are highly, you know, extremely talented players. Feels like this is a game where it should be over. So I'm going to take the over, but kind of with the understanding that Michigan, historically speaking, really has not utilized backups or tried to like work them into these types of games. I think they'd rather go with the comfortable margin of victory. There is also the parallel. You don't want this to be turned into like a close game. You know, when you're thinking about playoff rankings and kind of that stuff, I don't think that's like at the forefront of Michigan's mind. But Steve, it feels like this should be an over. I think it could be an under, but I'm going to take the over. Where are you at? 11.5 carries for the two combined. Does not count pass attempts, just rushes.
I'm going to go with the over as well. I pretty much agree with everything you said. I think as far as last week goes, I think it really was more about Michigan trusting Haskins to not fumble the football because he doesn't. And Edwards has had a couple fumbles this year. I'm going all the way back to his recruitment. I think I had said while Michigan was recruiting him, I know their one big knock on him was his ball security. So, you know, but again, this would be the game to give him some run and let him kind of maybe let him loose finally and let him see what he can do. Provided we assume he's 100% or close to it. I mean, again, I know they always say nobody's 100% November, but it's just that he's healthy enough to handle 10, 15 carries if they need him to, or if they want him to. So, but I got to take the over. Cause I agree with you. If it's not the over, then either this game was way closer than what was anticipated, or someone got hurt, or, you know, there's no upside to running Haskins the way they did last Saturday. They shouldn't have to.
Yeah.
And you need him at you need him as healthy as you can possibly have him for.
Yeah. And the other thing is, like, especially with Edwards, you mentioned ball security. I'm sure pass protection. I think I've seen a couple whiffs, but he, on paper, just physical talents alone against a team like Maryland, he could have a 100 yard game. I think that should be maybe quietly a goal for Michigan, is if you're third string running back and someone that you might need, we don't know Blake Corum's status against Ohio State, but you know, there's a chance he's the backup and Haskins will surely be, you know, just as beat up, just as tired against Ohio State as he was against Penn State. And so, yeah, it's, I don't know. I think he's really talented. So you might as well see what he's got. Might as well see what he's got against Big Ten teams. All right. Last one on the offensive side of the ball, 3.5 players whose longest catch is at least 15 yards. So this is another one that probably won't, it's kind of hard to necessarily predict, but Maryland, if there's a few weaknesses on their defense, but if there's one big one, it's the big pass plays. They have given up, Steve, 101 passing plays of at least 10 yards this season. Michigan, by comparison, has given up 70 in the same amount of games. They've given up 41 pass plays of 20 yards or more. Michigan, by comparison, has given up 25. So you're talking about a team that's not very good in coverage, that, you know, they're fine at tackling, but they're not really great defensively. And then without too much of a pass rush or a consistent pass rush, they've been prone to give up the big plays. Now they've played all the big boys, right? They've played Ohio State. They've played Penn State. They've played Michigan State. You know, mentioned, you know, Penn State, Dotson, 240 yards against Maryland. So I think there's there's capabilities of big plays. So I'm going to take the over. I don't know much about the how many different players whose longest catch is 15 yards, but this feels like a game, as long as Michigan doesn't decide to just be conservative and run it up the middle the entire game, they should be able to put up some numbers. And I have to think they'll want to get some of these receivers, get some rhythm. You know, Roman Wilson got into a little bit of a rhythm last week, but is this a game where maybe Andrell Anthony can get back going, where AJ Henning maybe can get back into things? Dalen Baldwin is someone whose name we really haven't heard much from the past few weeks. Cornelius Johnson. So it's, you know, there's a few guys I could see them wanting to get going. Plus, tight end seems like every game they have at least one catch of 15 yards or more. I'm going to take the over.
Yeah, I'll take the over as well. I see between Ohio State, Iowa, and Michigan State, those three teams averaged 57, total scored 157 points against Maryland.
That's a lot.
Yeah. So, you know, again, whether it's Haskins, Edwards, whatever, feels like Michigan, if they want to establish a run game early, will be able to do a good enough job to open up, you know, the passing game a little bit. So I'll take the over as well.
All right. Rounding out our offense before we hit a break. Keys for Michigan in terms of a successful weekend, not just winning, but, you know, looking at Ohio State and well, if they beat Ohio State, maybe there's another game after that. But you know, specifically to Ohio State, is there anything you really want to see from this offense that would make you feel maybe not more confident? Because I don't think either of us are necessarily going to pick Michigan to win against Ohio State. Kind of depends on how the Buckeyes look this weekend. But that would make you feel more confident in Michigan's potential offensively. For me, I think the offensive line is the key, or the position group that I'm watching the most closely. I think quietly, because Haskins is so good at avoiding tackles for loss and McNamara is so good at avoiding sacks, I think the offensive line has quietly avoided the scrutiny, plus they're 9-1. I don't think this offensive line has had very many games where they've really established their authority. Now, injuries have played a role, but I think the best thing that could happen to Michigan on Saturday, other than, like, I guess scoring 50 points, would be the offensive line just dominates Maryland. Ohio State will be a tougher challenge, I understand, but I think if Michigan's offensive line has a clean, crisp, and dominant game on Saturday, that means that group is continuing to grow, and they're starting to find their stride a little bit. So the numbers I'm looking for, probably from Pro Football Focus, is quarterback pressures allowed per passing snap. How does that compare to the rest of the season? And then also yards before contact for the running backs. Now, that's, you know, the before contact is technically subjective, but I think Haskins, you know, more than 60% of his rushing yards have come after contact this season. Can they get average 3 yards before contact per carry this game? If Michigan really clamps down on the offensive line, I'll go into Ohio State thinking that Michigan's offense is top three in the Big Ten and capable of putting 30-plus points on Ohio State. Any keys for you, Steve, for this weekend on the offensive side of the ball, just in terms of it being a successful weekend, not in addition to a victory that I think you and I are both predicting?
This is going to be the theme for me until next Saturday. It is. I'm with you all the way. It's up front. That's where these questions are going to be answered. That's what's going to determine Michigan's success against Ohio State. So you want to see the offensive line come out. Like, Ryan Hayes needs to have a bounce back.
Yes, game. He struggled quite a bit against Penn State.
Right. Granted, good pass rusher, but Ohio State's going to have good pass rushers too, right? Obviously. So 100% starts and ends up front for me. So definitely going to be keeping an eye. I think you said, would you say that their Maryland's PFF stats kind of stink, you know, pass rush wise,
defense?
Right?
Yes. Here, I'll read off the defensive ones to give fans a sense. 121st overall in defensive grade, 119th in run defense, 112th in pass rushing, 67th in tackling. So they don't miss a ton of tackles, but they also don't, they miss a decent amount of tackles still to be below average. And then 103rd in coverage. So yeah, the defensive front, not a lot to be intimidated by in this game.
Right. So starts up even as like, I guess Maryland, maybe not quite the pretest, I guess, that you would really want heading into Ohio State. But either way, I think, like you said, I actually really agree with you on the, you know, Haskins and McNamara, maybe, you know, creating a little bit of a perception. I think the offensive line's been a plus. It's been an asset. That's not, you know, it's not that. I'm not sure if they've been elite.
Right? Have they been? Michigan is the number six team in the country. Have they been the number six offensive line in the country? I don't think it's been
right,
close.
Right. So yeah, no. Like I said, this is going to be a theme. Hopefully it doesn't get too repetitive for people out there. But for me, it starts up front. And that starts on Saturday. You know, another opportunity to play high quality football heading into, you know, a huge game.
Yeah, Maryland's defensive front, not comparable to Ohio State's. Let's be very clear. But I think you and I are on the same page. It's an opportunity for Michigan's offensive line to build some confidence, some chemistry after having some, you know, they've had to have different guys step in throughout the season. And who knows, maybe learn a thing or two. I mean, that's the funny thing to me about is particularly college sports, but these teams in general is, you know, they are learning stuff every week. Michigan can still be better a week from now than they were today. And I think one of those big areas is the offensive line. We're going to hit a quick break on the other side. We've got the rest of our over-unders looking at the defense and the special teams, some of our keys for Michigan's defense, and then our final predictions for this matchup. You're listening to the Wolverine 24/7 podcast.
Let's go!
It's the most all-star studded challenge ever. And this time, it's every competitor for themselves.
Best challenge ever!
The Challenge All-Stars. New season now streaming on Paramount Plus. Go to ParamountPlus.com to try it free. Terms apply.
New CBS Sunday.
You collect rewards, right?
This is how I make my living.
When something is lost,
everyone's looking for something.
He finds it.
You strong swimmer?
So-so.
So-so. So-so's okay.
Justin Hartley stars.
How you survive, you make quick, smart decisions, and you never let panic take the wheel.
Sounds cool.
It is cool, actually. Very cool.
Tracker. New Sunday on CBS and streaming on Paramount Plus.
Welcome back. Thanks for waiting. So, Steve, I don't think Maryland's defense offers much of a challenge, I do think their offense offers some parallels to Ohio State. We'll talk about those in just a moment. But first, number five in our prop bets over-unders, 2.5 sacks for David Ajabo, Aiden Hutchinson. You know, these two, not just chasing quarterbacks, they are chasing history at this point. They are both two sacks away from the all-time, well, at least tying the all-time sack record for Michigan in single-season sacks, and they have several games to get there. But I think Maryland might be one of their better opportunities too. Terrapins, one, they pass a lot, like a lot, and then two, you know, they're okay in pass pro. They're 35th nationally. That's worse than Penn State was, or about comparable to what Penn State was. So I think this is a game where Michigan, you know, they see some of these awards, they see the watch list. I know Michigan's vouching for Aiden Hutchinson to be a Heisman candidate. You and I both have kind of said, maybe not, but one of the top defensive players in the country, certainly seems like an All-American. I feel like this is a game where Michigan lets them turn loose, almost the opposite of Haskins, where they maybe try to limit what he can do this week. I think they might try to say, yeah, keep scaring Ohio State's offensive linemen. You know, keep letting these guys get the headlines that they deserve. I mean, they have two guys who on any given snap both can get sacks. I think they try to put this game away with that early on. Now, Maryland will try to key in on both of them, but do they get 2.5 sacks? I am actually going to say the under, but I do think both can be I could easily be wrong there. It's just, I'm just kind of thinking, okay, is Maryland, what is their number one key on offense? It's probably to minimize how many sacks those two give up. What do you think of this over-under?
I'm going to go with the over. I think these guys are in a zone right now.
They are. That's true.
You can key on them all you want. You can't double two guys. I mean, you can, I suppose, but then you have two receivers out wide, you know? I don't know of Maryland's tight end situation, if they can like chip. I don't feel like they have tight ends that are, you know, I'm going to go with the over. I think these guys are both. Geez. I mean, not McShay. Somebody else for ESPN did a mock draft yesterday, had both of them in the top 10. I mean, these guys are both like trending. I mean, Hutchins has been trending up. Ojabo has exploded. You know, I'm going to go with the over.
Yeah, the one thing I am curious about is Maryland. I don't think they've been like a wait for the deep ball. Like, I think they have been able to get the ball out early. But regardless, I think that's our first disagreement of the game of this episode. So we probably needed one. Otherwise, we're going to end up with the same score. All right, number six. Does Talia Tagovailoa pass and run for a combined 289.5 yards? I'll pull up his season stats in just a moment. But Steve, that's obviously the big thing here. Maryland having some injuries. They don't have a ton in the run game this season. But Talia's been very good. You know, and it hasn't necessarily resulted in wins, but it has resulted in yards for him. 289.5, over or under for you?
I still got to go under, right? I don't know. I don't see him getting there. Michigan's pass defense is – talk about ascending. You know, I mean, DJ Turner has ascended into – I mean, he was primarily the guy that shut down Jahan Dotson last Saturday. Maryland probably a little deeper. I know they have one of their receivers is injured and out, but they do have a couple other guys, you know, maybe a little more people to throw the ball to, but no, I'm still going to go with the under.
I'm going to take the under as well. I didn't realize. I don't know if Neil knew this. He has -7 rushing yards on the year. So unless he meant sack adjusted rushing yards, which he didn't specify. So we're going to assume that he did not. He's only averaging 310 pass. I say only he's averaging 310 passing yards per game, but that hasn't come against the best teams. I mean, I think he's put up some crazy numbers against some struggling pass defenses, but Michigan's, as you said, ascending, getting better each week. I guess we don't know Jamon Green's status, but as you pointed out, as we pointed out last episode, I mean, Turner's looking like a star. You know, he's looking very good. And Vincent Gray, I thought, had a plus game against Penn State as well. Curious about the safety position because, you know, Hill, obviously he's doing his thing, but he's been moved around a couple times in the past couple weeks. Rod Moore, I mean, clearly Rod Moore getting his first start. Clearly they're still kind of tinkering there and thinking that maybe that there's some untapped potential in the safety room. But as far as the net overall, I mean, if we're predicting sacks, if we're predicting Michigan's coverage to have to continue to ascend, then he's not getting to 289.5 overall yards. All right, next one. 49.5 yards for Maryland's leading rusher. They do not have a ton in the run game. So far on the ground, Teyon Fleet Davis is their leading rusher, 441 yards in 10 games. That's 44.1 per game. I'm going to assume Chalin Famatau, forgive me if that's incorrect, 235 rushing yards this season. You know, I think the 49.5 is tricky because I think one like broken play with a backup defense in bite shift this, but I think this is a game where Maryland's really just gonna have to pass. I don't think that they're gonna have much going on the ground. Not a super strong run blocking team. You know, I think they're athletic enough up front to limit sacks, but yeah, run blocking, 106th nationally, according to Pro Football Focus. So I'm gonna take the under here. Feels like a kind of an easy one, but obviously the snag there is, does Michigan give up one long rushing play? Because if they do, then it's probably over, but I'm gonna take the under.
I'm with you. I take the under. This is one area, one reason why, to me, there are no similarities between Maryland and Ohio State, because Ohio State can run the football and Maryland cannot.
Fair enough.
Maryland is much more like Penn State. You know, maybe. I just looked, just to be clear, Maryland and Penn State's rushing stats are almost identical. They rush for almost the same amount of yardage per game this year. It's almost identical. So I'm going to take the under. I agree. I mean, yeah, one broken play could easily make this one wrong, but I'll just go with that not happening, and I'll go with the under.
All right. Last one. Which will be higher, number of times Michigan punts or number of Maryland three and outs? So that's an interesting one. I think that'll probably tell us what this game is like. I mean, if Michigan's forcing four more three and outs and punting four fewer times, then yeah, they're probably winning by a lot. I'm going to say Michigan punts more. Yeah, it's kind of a coin flip. Last week it was much more punts for Michigan than three and outs forced out of Penn State. I think the one thing that would be like, do turnovers or, you know, the half ending, do those count as three and outs? If they don't, then I'm going to take more punts. I think Michigan's defense will have a nice game. I don't think they're going to like shut Maryland out. What do you think, Steve?
Yeah, I think I agree. This will be a little bit different than last week. It is on the road. Maryland, again, like you're talking about, Sean Clifford wasn't really fully healthy last week still. Maryland may do a little bit better job protecting the quarterback too. So, yeah, I think what was it? It's punt. It's the punt one again, the punt.
Number of punts versus
passing yards.
Number of three and outs.
Oh, three and outs. Yeah, I'll go with the number of three and outs. Did I just totally contradict myself?
Well, you disagreed with me, but that's fine.
Okay. Yeah, I'll go with the three and outs.
I think you could honestly go either way for it.
It's a tough one.
Yeah. All right. So those were our over-unders. Steve, we did it for the offensive side of the ball. What's something you want to see from Michigan's defense this game that will make it a quote-unquote successful weekend in addition to the likely victory? For me, I think this is something that has been missing from the Ohio State game in recent seasons. I think this is a game where Michigan will feel a lot more confident if Mazi Smith and Chris Hinton and I guess Mike Morris and some of the other guys who will play inside at times. Julius Welshoff is quietly, his snap count has increased a little bit. If the defensive tackles have a great game and maybe even get a couple sacks, because I do think Ohio State's offensive line, I don't think they're necessarily going to win the battle against Hutchinson and Ojabo, but I don't think it's going to be like Penn State. I do think Ohio State's offensive tackles, I mean, they're future draft picks. You know, they're good. They're good football players. And so I think seeing how the defensive tackles respond this week, I think that will tell us a little bit about just how capable this defensive line is against the Buckeyes. Because we can talk about Ohio State's receivers. They're amazing. You know, they can run all sorts of routes. They have a quarterback who can get them the ball. But Michigan changes the scope of what Ohio State's offense can do if it produces a legit pass rush. And I think a legit pass rush to me, as good as Ojabo and Hutchinson have been, I think a legit pass rush to me is having the guys in the inside produce as well. What's something you want to see from the defense this week that would constitute a successful week? Maryland, you mentioned not much of a run game, but they are capable in the passing game and they are going to throw it a lot. what's something you're keeping an eye on?
You named the three players I was going to name with Smith, Hinton, and Morris, honestly, because like I said, it's going to be a theme. It comes down to up front. I do think the linebacker situation also is important, but
situation meaning their performance?
Just, yeah, like scenario-based, like, you know, pass coverage. You know, I kind of wonder, again, I don't know Maryland's tight end situation, but I can see, you know, this is where Ohio State's always so dangerous. I could see a guy like Jeremy Ruckert giving Michigan problems next Saturday, right? So I think pass coverage from the linebackers, which is, has been an issue, particularly in the middle, you know, is going to be something that's going to be important next week also. But I really, yeah, it just, it still comes down to up front. And it comes down to those guys, because I think at this point we can count on whether or not Ojabo, Hutchinson are putting up the raw numbers. They're just going to attract enough attention and do enough to where they're still going to create opportunities for everybody else. It's just a matter of those guys taking advantage of that opportunity. Mazi Smith played really well the last 3 or 4 weeks. You know, I think next year you're looking at an all Big Ten type guy in the middle possibly. And so his continued emergence is really big. I think Hinton has played sound football, but I agree. I think it's getting penetration in the middle, plugging gaps, but also, yeah, providing some kind of pass rush would be, I mean, what do you do at that point? If Michigan can get any pass rush in the middle, good luck, you know? So yeah, all about up front.
All right. Final predictions for this game. I guess, I mean, I think we both have kind of alluded to it enough. I think Michigan's going to win. The big question for me will be like, do they shut it down? You know, do they keep a conservative playbook? Because I almost think, I mean, everyone, I don't know. I almost think Michigan would benefit from opening the playbook a little bit, just to put more stuff on film for Ohio State to think about ahead of the game. You know, it's, I think Ohio State's good enough to adjust to like a new play. I don't think I don't think there's any play that Ohio State, that Michigan has run this year that Ohio State hasn't already seen. So, I mean, unless there's like brand new wrinkles, 700 snaps into the season, you might as well just throw what you got. Show what you have. I don't think there's much benefit to shutting it down. I think when McCarthy and Edwards go in there, I think Michigan's goal should be to score. I don't think it should be to get through the game or run some clock. I think they should go ahead, try to put up 50 plus if you can. You know, I don't know if they get that far, but I'm gonna say Michigan 42, Maryland. I do think they'll get a couple scoring drives. I think they're more potent. They're actually probably on paper the best passing offense Michigan has faced all season. So I'm going to say Michigan 42, Maryland 20. Steve, what do you think?
That's close to what I was going to predict, just because I agree. You actually watched a little bit of Maryland-Michigan State last Saturday, and Maryland had a lot of self-inflicted mistakes that really that game could have been a lot closer than what it ended up. I think 40-21 was the final score. I think
was there a lot of turnovers? Because that is something Maryland has struggled with this season. I'm surprised Neil didn't hit us up with a turnover over under, but
I want to say that Maryland had a couple turnovers in the red zone also. I someone can correct me if I'm wrong there. I feel like that's what my recollection was from the brief time that I did watch the game. But this is not going to be a case where Michigan overlooks anybody, because next week is so important. That's why they won't look over this opponent, right? I think it goes past trap game and becomes a game where they're going to be hyper focused, because they know if they can beat this team, then the stakes will they have all the marbles in front of them next Saturday. So yeah, I think Michigan, I say 41-17. I think Michigan comfortably could be one of those games where maybe it's not in doubt, but like it's contentious. It's back and forth maybe a little bit. For maybe the first half's a little bit closer than fans are comfortable with. I think Michigan does what they've done to the more of the inferior teams on their schedule and just kind of pulls away in the second half, out physicals them and pulls away with a couple touchdowns. So 41-17, I'm going to take Michigan.
All right, there you have it. I will be live on the scene along with Josh Newkirk in College Park, but there'll be tons of coverage from all of us over at the MichiganInsider.com, Michigan.247sports.com. We've also got a lot of podcasts for you to listen to. Hope you give them all a chance. You know, Steve and I talked about basketball. Sam and Tim McCormick have their basketball podcast. Then there's also the Michigan Recruiting Insider podcast. So maybe you've got a road trip or you've got some chores to do around the house. Pop in the headphones and let us help you through it. Anyways, for Steve Lorenz, I'm Zach Shaw. This has been the Wolverine 24/7 podcast. Hope you had fun. Hope you learned something. We'll see you next time.
Jeremy Renner returns to Paramount Plus for a brand new season of the original hit series, Mayor of Kingstown.
My job is to create a balance, avoid a war.
From executive producer Taylor Sheridan, co-creator of Yellowstone.
There's some new players in town, and they brought the plague.
And Antoine Fuqua, director of Training Day.
I know it's always been a war zone, Mike, but this is next level.
The mayor is back in business.
Are you warning me?
You're going to find out.
Mayor of Kingstown, new season streaming June 2nd, exclusively on Paramount+.